This show is intended for informational purposes. You should consult your healthcare professional before starting any type of diet or workout program. Welcome to Under 10 Fitness with your host, Drew Smith. Real conversations with real people that really works. Reach your goals faster without the gimmicks. Get ready for a healthy dose of veggies and iron with Under 10 Fitness.
What's up and welcome to Under 10 Fitness. This is the show where we talk about health and fitness in a way that matters to you. No tricks, no gimmicks, no fat loss fads, saran wrap, body wraps, or otherwise empty promises. My name is Drew Smith. I'm a personal trainer, a competitive powerlifter. Today we're going to talk about epigenetics, but I also wanted to briefly say that when I first started my journey on health and fitness, it was really hard to find true, honest information that wasn't some type of gimmick or trying to sell me something or some kind of magic pill. And that's why Under 10 Fitness was born. Here we have real conversations, and we talk about health and fitness, you know, in the boring fashion. Things that are actually going to work, and that is the amount of time and work that you put into it. That ultimately leads to progress. I have a co-host here, Brittany. Welcome
in. Hi, thank you.
Brittany, you've been in the fitness industry for a little bit now. How's your journey going?
It's going well.
You're thinking about doing a bodybuilding competition?
I'm playing around with that idea right now. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. So I'll get back to you on that.
Our coach, Vicky Morgan, we see her once a month or so just to do a little form check. And she says that you've got the booty.
Apparently.
To be a bodybuilder.
And apparently, so. Yeah, that's what they look for is a girl with a booty. And I've got a booty.
Well, I'm a lucky guy. I touch that booty every now and then.
Oh.
So we're going to talk about epigenetics. Now, Brittany, do you know what epigenetics is?
A little bit. It's similar. From what I understand, it has something to do with changing your DNA or your cellular structure while you're alive.
That sounds about like what I found out about it. Now, we don't know a lot about it, but we've done some research and we've looked into it. And epigenetics is the study of inherited changes in the genes that doesn't necessarily alter or affect the DNA sequence.
Okay.
Now, the research, it's leading to new information about the relationship between epigenetic changes and disorders. We're talking cancer, immune disorders, and other diseases. So, as I understand it, epigenetics are the traits that you can acquire throughout your life and that can be passed on to a child or offspring is what they're finding out. So you've got your DNA and it looks kind of like a ladder that someone like held on to the bottom of and spun around in circles.
It's a spiral staircase.
Yeah. And so the epigenetics are, you think of them as like little hangers that they put on the rungs of the DNA. So they're just adding to the DNA, but they're not necessarily breaking apart the chains and getting inside of there and adding anything new or changing.
Oh, okay.
So they can't do much studies on humans, right? And they've been studying epigenetics for close to 100 years now.
Okay.
And they found some cool stuff. And it's hard to test on humans because you can't see if that travels onto the offspring that quickly. So as far as like the progress that we're going to see in epigenetics, it's going to take a while because you have to go from generation to generation. And that's going to take at least 20 years to find out if these, you know, these things that are inherited from the parents are actually passed on to their offspring. So they've been studying in the lab with some mice. And what they found is if they added a light or mild stressor paired with the sensory cue, so something that the mouse can either see or smell, and then they've been studying the effects that it has. So what they did is they added just a little shock, like a static electricity shock to the mouse feet, and then they introduced a smell at the same time.
Okay.
So the mice associated that smell with a negative
something
response. Bad. Yeah, like I don't like the smell of lavender anymore because it always comes with a little static shock.
Interesting.
And then the offspring of those mice reacted to the smell as well. And what they put like little electrodes on the mice's brain to see that there was added activity when the smell came about. And they thought that that might just be something learned in the environment.
Right, like their parents were teaching them.
Exactly. So what they did is they took the mice offspring away at birth, gave them to another family of mice to be raised with, and they found that the brain reacted the same way to the smell. So that is leading them to believe that the offspring are actually inheriting these, you know, epigenetics from their parents.
That's really interesting. All I could imagine was we're little, like, orphan mice being adopted out to orphan parents.
Well, hopefully what they did is they took the mice from, like, poor mice families and gave them to rich mice families. So they had, like, a better epic life anyways.
Aww.
Does that make you feel better about thinking about it that way? We have to thank these mice for what they are doing for science here. Now, what if we think about this in a different type of way? Now we can explore this. Just kind of, we can speculate here amongst each others. I guess it's just me and you in here.
Hello.
What do you think this could do as far as, and what kind of implications do you think it has on just how we are? Like, what if this is true, that we can actually do this and change our, you know, genetic code over a period of time? You know, that leads to the question of, is a kid just naturally good at something? Or has that been inside them from generations previous?
Right.
And now they're just unlocking that code.
That's such a good question. So it sounds a lot like it's behavioral traits is what they're studying now.
Yeah, but, you know, there's links to other diseases as well. You know, you're talking diabetes and cancer and things like that. Now, as far as those studies, I didn't really find any that were easy to find. You know, I did some digging to find these studies here. So there's not a lot of research done on those as well. And, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to test that? You're probably going to have to give a bunch of mice cancer.
Yeah.
And so I don't think they're at that point where they're doing that.
So, but you're right. It has huge implications. What if you and I are both powerlifters and we have children, then will our children be more prone to be able to lift heavy weights?
Right.
And is that something that they're going to be naturally good at, or is it something that you and I are going to kind of force upon them?
Well, they're not going to be naturally good at. We can take full credit for all of their success. If we have little baby Drew Jr. I mean, I think there's something to that, because you see families that are all into sports and they are just really good. The Manning brothers, you got the whole family of the Mannings are just like professional football players.
Yeah.
You know, is that by luck or is that by happenstance that they actually did the work and they've been working on this as a generation over and over a period of years?
Somehow those little hangers on their DNA just made them all really good throwers. Their right arms are all really strong.
Yeah. And then they can sense like people coming to run into them. Like, I don't know, but I have a tingling in my stomach. I think somebody is running at me, about to dive into my chest.
Oh, that's really cool, though, epigenetics. I've heard of that term a lot, and it almost puts into question the nature versus nurture argument. I mean, it adds another like category to nature versus nurture. It's not necessarily nature versus nurture. Is it nature and nurture?
And then evolution, you throw that in there as well.
Mind-blowing.
And it's important to think about this, too, and the science is pointing towards the fact that we are having a lasting effect on our future generations, and if we continue to get second or diabetes type 2, then, you know, we can pass that genome on to our kids and future generations. So it's exciting to think about all the good things that could happen, but also at the same time, could we be negatively affecting our future line by eating a bunch of processed foods or, you know, sitting around doing nothing or leading a sedentary life? And then you also talk about the behavioral type aspects of it, too.
Yeah.
That, you know, you might be afraid of things because your mom was. And is that because it's in the genes? Or is it because your mom always freaked out when you did certain things, right? Or your dad, it doesn't really matter.
Right. So just like how you can blame your parents right now for some of your learned behaviors, you can also now maybe blame your parents for passing on those genetic traits to you and you can't do anything about it.
Uh-huh. But you also got to praise them on the backhand of that. For all of the good things that you're doing, that is your parents' fault there.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
So there you go. That's a quick breakdown of the epigenetics. And what I'll do is I'll put a link to all of the studies. And there's a long TED Talks. A gentleman really researched this heavily. So you can go look at all of his research. And he really breaks it down in a lot more poetic and scientific way than I could do.
I like poetry.
And it's easy to understand as well. It's a lot of fun. So you can check that out under 10fitness.com/epigenetics. That's EPIGENETICS.
Hey, good job.
For Brittany Meyer, I'm Drew Smith. We'll be right back.
Under 10 Fitness is social. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Under 10 Fitness.
All right, Brittany, I want you to come to the locker room with me. I know it's the men's locker room, but you can come on in for a second here. I want to talk to you about bodybuilding. Have you ever thought about doing a bodybuilding show seriously?
Seriously, yes. I'm throwing it around in my brain right now.
What's the most challenging or like the thing that you think about most when it comes to like competing in a bodybuilding
Giving up show? Cheese.
Giving up cheese. I'm struggling with kind of like the meal plan, what to eat, and then the programming, you know, how often should I work out, what types of exercises and isolated movements and stuff for that. So what I've done is I've reached out to Vicky Morgan because she's a professional. She's been in the health and fitness industry for, I want to say at least 13 years. Mm-hmm. And she just knows her stuff, and she's going to help us put together a program from dietary standpoint and from a lifting standpoint. She can cover everything. And the thing that I like most about Vicky is that, well, she's funny. Okay, so there's a couple things that I like about Vicky, but she's really funny. But she also comes at the angle towards health and fitness to make sure that you're going to be healthy and safe in the gym.
Mm-hmm. And that you can do this forever. For as long as you are alive or as long as you want to.
Yeah, because if you're hurt in the gym, you can't do anything and you won't feel good. And so she's really out there trying to help you achieve your goals, but achieve them safely. That is the main key. So Vicky Morgan, I want to thank you for helping me and Brittany achieve our goals. If you want to reach out to Vicky, you can find her at under10fitness.com. You can also find her online at victoryfitnessteam.trainerize.com. And also, Vicky is ACE licensed and insured. She's been doing this for many, many years. She's a powerlifting coach. She does bodybuilding. Anything you want, she can help you on your goals. Again, you can find her at under10fitness.com/Vicky.
Welcome to Under 10 Fitness, giving tips, tricks, and motivation when it comes to health and fitness.
And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness. My name is Drew Smith. I'm a personal trainer, competitive powerlifter, and I am joined with Brittany Meyer, fellow powerlifter. Welcome in, Brittany.
Hello.
What is your favorite exercise?
Probably deadlifts.
Deadlifts are a lot of fun. Are you getting better at your deadlifts?
Yeah. My form is getting better, and that says a lot.
Are you feeling better when you're deadlifting? What have you done in the gym, like a specific training aspect, like a little tip that might help someone out there who's struggling with deadlifts or looking into getting into it?
I'm really focused on lowering my hips and puffing out my chest, and that seems to have helped quite a bit.
That does help engage those lats and get those glute muscles involved. I've had the same problem. So yeah, lowering my hips a little bit, puffing up my chest, and that's kind of like pulling my shoulder blades back and together, really getting those lats and back muscles involved.
Both Drew and I are doing that right now.
Oh yeah, we're like, look like chickens in here, flopping our shoulders back and forth. All right. Well, we're going to talk about what's going on in and around the health and fitness industry, different news topics that are trending. But I also want to talk about some cellulite.
Yeah.
Now, you've been researching this. What have you found out about cellulite? Some myths.
Okay, sure. Well, I was really interested in cellulite because I'm a woman, and I started noticing that my cellulite was becoming more noticeable recently. So I was a little bit bothered by that. So I started researching it because I'm sure that it bothers a lot of women. And I found some really interesting information because I actually didn't know what cellulite really was or what it was caused by. there's a lot of stuff out there a lot of myths out there. One being that cellulite is caused by toxins in your body. And as we can all probably, all of us listeners of this show can probably tell, that's not true at all. There's nothing wrong with you, and your body is not toxic.
So doing some type of juice detox or cleanse isn't going to get rid of that cellulite.
Yeah, doing any sort of detox doesn't do anything for anything.
Okay.
But definitely not cellulite.
So what is cellulite?
So cellulite is basically just, it is the, not lack of, but less supportive connective tissue in your body.
So it's not fat cells. We're not seeing fat cells at the skin level?
We all have fat cells, and we all have a layer of fat. Some of us have more fat than others, but fat is going to be there. We need fat to function, and that's okay. Fat is good. However, it's the supportive connective tissue layer over that layer of fat that causes the appearance of cellulite. So a couple of facts here. Cellulite, women actually do tend to have more cellulite than men, or I guess I should put it, their appearance is more than in men. And that's because women are supportive connective tissue tends to be less supportive than in men, and that's just basic genetics. It has a lot to do with estrogen, and it has a lot to do with the fact that we are not as muscular. Also, cellulite is genetic, and your genetics definitely determine how elastic and how supportive your connective tissue is. So it all has to do with how well your body kind of smooths out that underlying fat tissue. And again, it just all leads back to genetics and how that connective tissue is laying over top of that fat.
It's just kind of like body types.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. Some people have more wrinkles than other people, and sometimes it's hard to relate
right.
back to exactly why.
Some people's hair is blonde, some people's hair is red. So okay. It really has a lot to do with that. I also want to go over some more myths and facts, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, please shoot.
Another huge one in the world of both men and women, I'm sure, is that cellulite or having an appearance of cellulite means that you're out of shape. And that is absolutely not true. Again, this comes back to just simple genetics and how that connective tissue is laying on top of your fat layers. Also, regular exercise absolutely cannot cure cellulite. There is no cure for cellulite. However, you can reduce the appearance of cellulite with a mixture of cardio/weight loss and strength training. Cardio, such as running, just full cardio with no strength training, does not reduce the appearance at all. So that's important to know. If you do want to reduce the appearance of cellulite, you do need to get in the gym and do some strength training, because that's the only way that you're going to kind of smooth out that layer, right? Another myth is those skin firming creams that we see sometimes. They can provide a temporary camouflage, but they do absolutely nothing. Also, a lot of people like to wear compression clothing, but it doesn't do anything. All that compression clothing does is cuts off the circulation of blood to your legs, and thus reduces the appearance of cellulite, but really what it's doing is just cutting off the blood circulation to your cells, which is not good. So don't use compression clothing to reduce the appearance of cellulite. That's just a bad
bad plan. Yeah, to cut off circulation to anything. Yeah.
Exactly. Let's see. And then some of the facts. Again, cellulite is genetic. Exercise can help reduce the appearance of your cellulite. And this happens by stretching out and strengthening your connective fibers, as well as decreasing your overall fat percentage. And that makes sense, right? However, once you start exercising and building muscle, that can actually increase the appearance of cellulite, which I think is what is happening with me, because I'm gaining quite a bit of muscle in my legs, but I still have that layer of fat. So suddenly I have cellulite. It's weird.
It sounds like there's this magic zone to where mm-hmm. you won't be able to see the cellulite. So it's still there, right?
Yeah.
Cellulite's always there. It's just whether you can see it or not. It's kind of what I'm hearing.
Cellulite is always there. Exactly.
So yeah, and then if you get too strong, or I guess you grow the muscles to a certain point, mm-hmm. then the cellulite will show through.
It
the
basically
skin
just pushes the fat cells kind of through your connective tissue a little more.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have anything else?
That's it. And I just want to restate that cellulite is not a bad thing, and it doesn't mean that there is anything wrong with you or that you're doing anything bad, because it's completely natural. Everybody, or 90% of women, have cellulite. Even Victoria's Secret models have cellulite.
Yeah, it's just the Photoshop that takes it right away.
Exactly.
You know, there's a lot of different things that people do to make it disappear. And then, yeah, it comes back to just being happy with who you are and,
exactly.
and have a good body image. And, you know, your goal is to be a powerlifter.
Yeah.
And for that, you need to, you know, you got to have the fat and the muscle to go along with it. You know, mm-hmm. 'cause, well, I guess the other option is to just lose all your fat.
And die.
Yeah, because fat is absolutely essential to living. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
That's very informative. Yeah, that really dispelled some myths. And hopefully that gives some hope to you. If you have cellulite, you know, you can do as much good to a certain point. But then at a certain point, when you're happy with the you know, whatever weight you're at mm-hmm. or whatever size you are, then you just kind of have to accept it at some point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, let's take another quick break here, and then we're going to come back and talk about what is trending in and around the health and fitness industry, along with some digitally printed, what's that called? When you digitally print something now with
3D
that plastic.
Printing.
Yes, 3D printing. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And then a car crashes through a gym.
Oh, gosh.
We'll be right back.
Under 10 Fitness is your show. Email questions to info@under10fitness.com. That's info@under10fitness.com.
Live from around the world with your health and fitness news, it's Under 10 Fitness with The Skinny.
And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness. This is Brittany Meyer, joined in the studio today by Drew Smith.
And here we are. We're going to talk about what's going on in and around the health and fitness industry. We got a couple news stories. First thing I want to get to is these 3D printed shoes, New Balance. They are they're just printing shoes.
Heck yes.
You know what? That's good and bad. The good news is that we don't need any more child labor putting the shoes together.
Oh gosh.
the bad news is that those kids are out of a job.
Oh no.
Oh, kids. That's
terrible.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? They're printing shoes.
That is pretty cool.
I mean, you know, this is the world
we
live in now.
Do they just print them out of plastic?
No. I mean, you can use other materials in a digital printer, and you can get your own shoes printed, and you can put different logos and designs on them. Pretty much this is going to change how we order shoes, because now you can customize your shoes completely.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make them like one order at a time and then just have them shipped out of the factory.
That's amazing. It'd take like a 3D scan of your foot, and then they just custom make them to you.
Yeah, you'd have to know your size here. Oh, the computer's yapping at me because it wants me to listen to this. I'm going to mute this real quick. But yeah, the running shoes are now out. They have released 44 pairs earlier this month, April 15th. And I know your first question is, why did they release just 44 pairs? Because the company was purchased 44 years ago on Patriots Day. So that's why they decided to do that. Oh, gosh, that was worth the wait, wasn't it? Very cool, though. So would you consider getting some 3D printed shoes?
If the price is right.
All right. Well, there you go.
And do you know how much they cost?
No, there's nothing on here as far as the price goes. But they are manufactured here in Massachusetts in the United States. So there you go. You could buy some U.S. made shoes.
Yeah, if you're a listener out there and you get one of these pairs of shoes, let us know.
Yeah, we might have to order some and try them out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they might just be like hard plastic.
Well, except you said that they're making running shoes right now, so
they can be hard plastic running shoes. No, they're bendy in the picture here. I'll put a link to that up at under10fitness.com if
awesome.
You want to go check it out. You can read it for yourself. Now in Torrance, California, a Planet Fitness. People are just hanging out. They're running on the treadmill. They're doing deadlifts and squats, and
they're in the cinema theater.
Yeah, and Planet Fitness, I think, is the one where you have to be quiet, so nobody's, like, dropping weights.
Is that the one that has a theater?
That's Gold Gym.
Oh,
Gold's Gym, I think, is doing that. Movie night, at least. So Planet Fitness, though, you can't drop weights. No intimidation, I believe.
Oh, gosh.
And intimidation was taken to another level because somebody drove through the gym in their car. Alexis comes through the building at about 5:30 in the evening. People are just working out on a Thursday afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, actually, and next thing you know, a car is in your squat rack.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, nobody was seriously injured. There were a few, four or five people were injured, but nobody was severely injured or killed. So, apparently, a woman in her 70s mistook the brake for the gas.
We've all done it. Just admit it.
All right.
Well, I'm glad nobody was seriously injured.
Well, I mean, this is just a reason never to work out again. Stay away from the gym. You might get a car crashing
into
you.
No kidding. I wonder how many of those people will never go to a gym again.
I mean, that is really going to... PTSD, you talk about, like, the things that you can get PTSD from. And going to the gym would not be on that list. You know, going to war, yeah,
right.
Being some kind of police officer or paramedic, something where you kind of expect to see something like crazy, but yeah, nope. And the last story we have is a 40-year-old woman has just qualified for the Olympics.
Ooh, what sport?
It is a gymnast, so gymnastics.
Wow, in the U.S. or somewhere else?
No, she is not from the United States. She is... I'll try to find out where she's from,
sure.
But I'm not exactly... Oh, she represents the Soviet Union.
Cool.
Yeah, and she's competed in the Olympics many, many times before, it looks like here. But, man, you when you think about the Olympics, you're thinking especially gymnastics.
Yeah.
How old do you usually think these girls are?
I think the very minimum age, which I think is 16 for gymnastics, I believe. So, I mean, these are little girls, pretty much.
I remember watching as a kid, and, you know, that they were all kids.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, these are my friends. They're all in the Olympics. But, yeah.
Well, that's incredible.
40 years old, and she is, qualified for the Olympics again. And that's something to say, that you don't have, it's not a young person's game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about this when it relates to health and fitness, especially me specifically. I didn't start working out until I was, I think 26.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was too late.
You thought your life was over by then?
Yeah, but no, it's not. I mean, you can start way into life and still compete at a high level. I mean, yeah, she's probably been competing since she was 7, but...
Well, that's amazing. I don't care what country she's representing. I'm still going to definitely root for her. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's not about where you're from at that point. It's all about just... And I don't think that they really... I think it's more of a team thing. Because, you know, we've competed too. And when we get there, we're competing against other people. But then kind of like behind the scenes and in the background, we're all just rooting each other on.
Exactly. And I hope that's what it's like for the Olympics as well. Probably a little bit more competitive, though, because there's a lot on the line.
Yeah, there is. But at the same time, I mean, most of these athletes don't get sponsored and they don't make millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a select few that obviously get sponsors, but...
Yeah,
the majority of Olympians just, you know, they get their basics paid for, and then they compete, and then next thing you know, they're painting houses.
Yeah,
there's an Olympic speed skater that my sister dated, and he's a house painter.
Oh, that's really cool.
You know, he did Olympic wrestling and that's wrong. He was an Olympic wrestler.
Okay,
and now he's trying to be an Olympic speed skater.
Oh, cool.
But. You got to dedicate your life to that stuff.
Yeah. I'm sure it's really expensive to do that as well.
Well, Brittany, is there anything else in the health and fitness industry that you have found that's worth talking about?
No. I could look.
That's easy enough. Fair to sum it up. That's about all the time that we have for this episode. Then I want to thank you again for joining us on Under 10 Fitness, where we talk about health and fitness in a way that matters to you. This is episode 123, maybe. There's awesome. A bunch of them. They live at under10fitness.com. We talk about different subjects. We talk to doctors, dietitians, nutritionists, athletes, and more, all with one goal in mind, and that is how we can improve our relationship with health and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
As always, remember,
stay motivated.
And again, thank you for listening to this episode of Under 10 Fitness. If you liked it, you can check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. We'd love it if you would give us a review and a rating there on iTunes. It helps more people find the great content here. Also, at under10fitness.com, there's a members area. And in that members area, we host tons of different workouts and yoga. Brittany joins me on some of these workouts. Mm-hmm. Brittany, what are the workouts like at under10fitness.com?
Well, some of them are great for beginners, and some of them are awful for beginners. And I would know personally.
Some of them are hard. However, they can all be modified. So no matter where you're starting from, you kind of go at your own pace. It's all body weight stuff, and you can do it at home in the privacy of your own home. So if you need to take a second and rest, you take a second and rest. Mm-hmm. And then you just join us back in the squatting or the push-ups or whatever we're doing. Mm-hmm. And there's also yoga, because we like to mix it up. Strength and stretching. And those yoga days, I'm always looking forward to them, because it's time to just stretch out. With the life I lead, with all this sitting and working out, things get tight and I just feel like stretching it out.
Yep.
It's good for your mind too, isn't it?
It really is. Absolutely.
Working out is probably the best therapy I've ever had. It doesn't fix all of my problems, but it really just helps me get out of that mindset so I can come back to my life and really attack things. And I'm so much more successful and stuff in life just after working out.
That's amazing, Drew.
I love it. So you can try it at under10fitness.com. You can try it out free for an entire month. Just use the promo code UTF. And 20% of memberships go to a nonprofit every month, so that you're helping the community while you're helping yourself get in shape. And membership, it's only $9.99 a month.
You really can't beat that.
Yeah, if you don't like it, you can cancel it anytime. No gimmicks. No fads, no saran wrap body wraps, or empty promises. It's real work, though. So thank you for listening to Under 10 Fitness. We'll see you next week.